What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now. But this was our first with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, the 2019 NFL free agency window continues, and the Chargers have brought back a couple of guys, one really important guy to what they want to do in Adrian Phillips, and also re-signed Isaac Rochelle, who was an exclusive rights free agent, and also Brandon Mebane, unfortunately, with a two-year deal. We already talked about the Brandon Mebane deal a little bit, but now we have the contract details on it. And now it's time to be upset. But we're also going to talk about Tom Telesco getting a well-deserved contract extension for multiple years. Very eerie on the details right now. Not a lot of numbers in that deal that have come out or anything like that. But I think that might have been the most important signing of this offseason, in my opinion, having Tom Telesco back for multiple more seasons, especially with how quickly many teams turn over their GM. It's nice to have that continuity. But let's start with getting fired up about this Brandon Mebane deal, guys, because we just found out that Brandon Mebane is getting a two-year, $9.3 million deal from the Chargers. And it's important not to take that at face value. We know that he will never really see those $9.3 million. But no matter what, David, he's going to see $5.25 million because that's what he is guaranteed. It's definitely going to be a front-loaded contract in that aspect. But seeing him make that kind of money, what was your first thought?
My first thought was, wow. Are you serious? Like, how could you possibly give a 34-year-old deteriorating nose tackle $5 million. I could not understand it. I mean, when they re-signed him, I was like, okay, whatever. They like his leadership. You know, he was healthy for the most part. He was decent against the run, but, you know, I was like, okay, you know. But then I found out the terms, and I was just flabbergasted, I think would be the best word to come up with, Daniel. I cannot believe that they felt like Brandon Mebane had earned $5-plus million for even 1 year. It doesn't make sense to me, man.
Well, and the contract he signed a few years back, his guaranteed money was $5.5 million over three seasons. So, I mean, to put that into perspective, that really hurts because you're basically giving the same amount of money basically for 1 year. And I do want to preface this just by saying, hey, we understand that this guy has put more into this team as far as playing with everything concerning the medical condition of his late daughter who passed away last season and still was able to come back to the team. We know he brings a great deal of veteran leadership, and we know that he is a very well-respected guy in the locker room. And I think what it comes down to is we are strictly talking business-wise as far as how much money he should have made. John, what did you see when you saw that deal?
I already didn't want him re-signed as it was, and the amount of money they gave him just makes me hate this signing even more. We could have got someone way better, way younger. You could even use that to get a first-round draft pick at defensive line and paid him his first-round money with that contract and still had money left over to fill another hole on the defense or on the offensive line. The fact that he's getting $5 million guaranteed is absurd to me. Especially when you brought up that stat about how he made that much money over 3 years. I didn't even think of to even look that up. And once you said that to me, that even made me confused more about why we're giving him $5 million now when he wasn't worth $5 million a year guaranteed the other 3 years. I'm wondering where they were going with this. But the players on Twitter really have liked the signing. So I'm guessing there must be some locker room presence or something that the players really liked that made Telesco want to give him this money.
My biggest thing is you're giving him this money at age 34. And I just think that it's so unlikely that he's going to improve over what you've seen. He did miss most of one season with an injury, but he played okay last season. Missed a few games, obviously, for family issues. Played okay, but I just don't see $5 million in guaranteed money going to a defensive lineman that played okay and is 34 years old and would probably have a pretty hard time finding a job on another team. And if he did, there's no way in my mind that he gets more than a one-year kind of prove-it deal. And this deal has some money on the back end in the 2020 season that you would just think it would almost be impossible for him to play well enough to try and earn that. I think he has 2 sacks in his career for the Chargers, which, I mean, he's not giving you any kind of pass rush. He's playing that one technique in the middle, and you don't really have another player that can play that position right now, David. But at the same time, it's just, what do you value as your leadership? How much money is that worth? Because, yes, the defense has gotten more leadership, and you retained leadership in Brandon Mebane and by bringing in Thomas Davis. But you also made your defense slower and older at the same time. So it's definitely a head-scratching move that the Chargers brought back Brandon Mebane, yet they really haven't brought in any young, interesting free agents by any means.
For me, it's a questionable decision to reinvest in defensive line help that is on the very, very wrong side of 30. I think, you know, they needed to infuse some young, aggressive type of defensive line help, but that's not, you know, what they've, you know, chose to pursue in free agency. So hopefully in the draft, you know, they look really, really, really hard at young, powerful, strong defensive line help, because it's at this point a very glaring need going into next season.
And it's a glaring need even with the addition of Brandon Mebane, which is the scary part. And the part that hurts the worst is just the fact that Darius Filon is still out there unsigned, and he was your best interior lineman the last 2 seasons in a row, and he's unsigned, yet Brandon Mebane is coming back on a 2-year deal. And then also
the Patriots are coming after Filon too, so now he has competition, which means more money could be spent on Filon.
He does have competition. Luckily, the Patriots don't seem to like to spend any money. But, I mean, I think that shows you his value right there, though. And it's a value that we've seen, I guess, even if the Chargers haven't seen it. If the Patriots are sniffing around him, you know they're not doing it unless they believe he could be ultra productive at a very good price, which is what we were hoping for, because he hasn't quite broke through that ceiling to become a dominant defensive lineman that's going to get paid, you know, 10 plus million a year. But if he is, it's going to be after this contract, more than likely, if he is going to break out. So it also doesn't help the HaHa Clinton Dix signed with the Bears for 1 year, $3.5 million. And you're spending more on that in 2019 than Brandon Mebane. So that hurts. But in good news, the Chargers did bring back Isaac Rochelle, which wasn't a big question because he was an exclusive rights free agent, but he is back in the fold, John, so you do have another D lineman coming back to go along with Brandon Mebane, and I think that it'll probably be a pretty small deal. We don't have the contract details on it yet, but I can't imagine it's going to be very much, and it is some good depth along that defensive line.
It is really good depth, and he was really productive last year in Boza's spot while Boza was recovering from that bone bruise in his foot, so to get this guy back is huge. He had a lot of playing time, so he grew, he improved, he became a better player. So you basically have someone that could possibly be a starter on another team as your backup, which is really good help for a position that we've tend to lack at the past few years. Even with injuries, we tend to not have a good backup, no good depth. Or if we did have good depth, that guy got hurt too. Rochelle showed he can play. He could play a whole season. And Boza coming back, you don't know if he's going to get hurt again. You know you for sure you have a guy that will step up and get that job done. And it's definitely going to be for a cheap price. There's no way he signed a Brandon Mebane-type deal.
Well, and that's the thing with Isaac Rochelle. It's super plausible to see Isaac Rochelle outperforming the value of his contract. I do not see that with Brandon Mebane. But, David, are you happy they're bringing the seventh-round pick, Isaac Rochelle, back into the fold?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, he got some rare, valuable first-team snaps last year in Bosa's absence, and I think he played fairly well. I think he was aggressive against the run. He got some sacks last year, so he, you know, provided some pass rush. And to get that type of value out of a seventh-round pick, I mean, that's just pure gold. So you got to commend Tom Telesco on taking Isaac Rochelle and getting value out of a seventh rounder. That's just not something that you see too often. So, yeah, it's not going to be big money. So bringing a young body back in on the defensive line, that is only good news, in my opinion.
And he had a game-winning interception.
Yeah, he had a game-winning accidental interception that fell into his lap against the 49ers this season.
Still made the catch, though.
Still made the catch. Yeah. He had a ton of pass rush snaps last year, so based on how many pass rush snaps and how often he got after the quarterback, it wasn't a great season. But again, we're talking comparatively, and it was a seventh-round pick. And between him and Justin Jackson, they're really the only productive seventh-round picks Tom Telesco has drafted. So it's definitely a trend in the right direction. They're happy to have him back. We're happy to have him back because he's still extremely young and has a lot of room to improve if they can develop him the right way. But we're bearing the lead on the biggest signing the Chargers have brought back this year from last season, and that is Adrian Phillips. So let's go ahead and talk about Adrian Phillips and how excited we are to have him back coming up in the next segment. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about the guy we are most nervous about losing in this offseason, and that is Adrian Phillips, who is officially going to come back to the Chargers for one more season. At least we do not have the contract deals on it, but John, it is still a huge deal that Adrian Phillips is getting brought back in 2019.
And the last show we were talking about, why haven't the Chargers talked to this guy? We were getting worried. And a couple days after that show, 1 year deal, Adrian Phillips, and is just a giant relief that we're not going to lose him. Could have been a longer deal. I know we all want him to be here even longer. He deserves to be here longer, but just to even have him here one more year while we're still trying to get the most productive years out of Philip Rivers' contract just means a lot.
Yeah, it's a little bit mind-boggling that Brandon Mebane got 2 years and Adrian Phillips got 1 year, but that's neither here nor there. Adrian Phillips has been huge for this team. He led the NFL in special teams tackles last year on his way to his first ever Pro Bowler as a special teamer, but that was not where his impact was felt the most on the Chargers, because he came in about midway through the season, beginning of the season, and started playing way more of a linebacker role, the dime linebacker in the sub packages, and was just ridiculously good, durable, and versatile for the Chargers last year. He never really fit in at free safety. They never really got what they expected out of him there. But, hey, this is still an undrafted guy who has carved out a role on this team that you couldn't afford to lose him. I mean, this helps you in the safety department. This helps you in the linebacker department. Now, with him, I mean, if you count him as a linebacker, now you have him and Kazir White and Denzel Perryman and Jatavis Brown and Thomas Davis. Makes you feel a lot better about the position. You could even throw Chenna Nwosu in there as far as the strong side outside linebacker slash defensive end, but it makes you feel a lot better about it, David. I just wish we could have tacked on, you know, maybe a 2 more years, maybe make it a 3-year deal, let you get out after 2 if it's really going south.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. When I found out that the Chargers hadn't re-signed him before free agency even begun, I was a little upset, to be quite honest, just because looking back on his season and the things that he's been through in his short career with the Chargers, he's really earned a bigger contract than he received. I just believe that I would have loved to have seen a 3 or 4 year deal for Adrian. I feel like he deserves that. I feel like he's earned it. And he earned it the right way. You know, he was given nothing. He earned every opportunity that he got, and he made the most of it. But hey, you know, I guess he might have overvalued himself in free agency. Nobody else could really see how he would benefit their defense. But I think to the Chargers, he's extremely valuable and a key piece to continue that continuity going into next season.
And when you say he really earned that contract, I read somewhere that Tom Telesco cut Adrian Phillips 8 times already throughout Adrian Phillips' career, and yet he came back and had that season. That's an amazing number of times to get cut and still be really good. And the only guy I could think of that's done that is James Harrison with the Steelers, who got cut, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row before finally having his spot on the Steelers.
Yeah, and becoming one of the best Steelers of all time, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, I think, yeah, Tom Telesco said he's called Adrian Phillips into his office 8 times to cut him. And now, you know, he's one of the most important players on your defense, coming off a year where he set a career high with 77 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and a ridiculous 12 passes defensed. I mean, those are all numbers that would be great for any linebacker or safety. Yet somehow this guy, David, as you mentioned, didn't find a team out there. I mean, as that we know of right now, that was willing to give him a 3-year deal. I think that the Chargers lucked out on the fact that this was an absolutely loaded safety class. There was a ton of big named safeties that were out on the market. And I think that, like we alluded to in previous shows, kept Adrian Phillips' value down. I'm surprised the Patriots didn't pick him up, if we're being honest, a team that knows how to use players in multiple roles, because this guy could have been a big-time player on a lot of different teams. So the Chargers are absolutely lucky that they escaped with getting Adrian Phillips on a 1-year deal. It just drives me crazy. They couldn't get more done with it because, I mean, now, best case scenario, he has a really good season, and then in a less crowded safety market goes out there and gets a multi-year deal with someone maybe other than the Chargers, because now he gets to test free agency again after next season, and you might not get so lucky next year, John. And that is the part that really scares me, because, I mean, how do you replace that kind of production? How do you replace a player that can play so many spots on your defense and seems to know it so well?
Well, the only way you can do that is by signing that person this year. And that's whether it's the free agency or the draft or whatever. Whoever you get, if you don't think you're going to get Adrian Phillips back next year, you better groom somebody to be that person next year. Because that was the difference in our team. When the run defense wasn't doing good, you got Adrian Phillips come in and be a safety/linebacker and played the run really well, and it made a big difference in this team. And this is with Denzel Perryman constantly getting hurt. So if Denzel Perryman doesn't play out his contract, or if he gets hurt again next year without Adrian Phillips, who's going to step up and be that guy? If you want to lose Adrian Phillips, you have to groom a guy now, or you better give Adrian Phillips a contract extension somewhere during the middle of this NFL season once you realize that Adrian Phillips is not some one-hit wonder.
Yeah, exactly. And it really, at the end of the day, we need to just be excited that the Chargers were able to bring him back for 2019 and then kind of go from there, you know, see what the salary cap is going to look like next season. Maybe you'll have more room to bring him in and you'll have another year to kind of evaluate him. But I tell you, if he does have a really good season, you better sign him before he gets to test the open market again, because I don't think you will get that lucky again. But we do need to kind of credit Tom Telesco for, you know, keeping him around, even though he was dumb enough to cut him or try to cut him that many times. Even though, hey, Adrian Phillips was not the player that he is a few years ago. We have complained many times about Adrian Phillips, but over the last year and a half or so, he has made himself an invaluable piece to this Chargers defense and a guy that would be very hard to replace. Maybe you kind of groom Kazir White in that mold, and you know, maybe he takes over that mantle after this year. If you can kind of turn him into that, he is that hybrid safety linebacker type of body and skill set. But we will have to see it. But we do have to give credit to Tom Telesco and his ability to bring these guys back. And also, we need to talk about Tom Telesco's extension that he got done with the Chargers front office. He is going to be around for multiple seasons after this one, which is great news. So let's talk about Tom Telesco and his history with the Chargers as their general manager coming up in the next segment. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about maybe the biggest deal of the offseason so far. The Chargers have found a way to re-sign Tom Telesco to a multi-year extension, which is great news because Tom Telesco is one of the better general managers in the league, especially over the last few seasons. And really the most exciting part about this, guys, is just the fact that Tom Telesco seems to be getting better and better. And that's the thing, David, that really excites me is this guy seems to be learning from his mistakes. I mean, I know Brandon Mebane just signed, so it might be hard to see past that right now. But especially in draft classes and in free agent signings, Tom Telesco has gotten much better. And I'm definitely happy that he is sticking around for a while.
Yeah, no, he's truly matured as a GM. I mean, right in front of our eyes, we've seen some really, really bad deals in the beginning with Robert Meacham and Derek Cox. I mean, those ones obviously did not look great. But, you know, as he's continued on, he's really found great value throughout the draft and brought in key guys that have made tremendous impacts on both offense and defense, like Melvin Gordon and Derwin James, to be more specific. Joey Bosa, I mean, just great. Kaiser White, I mean, a lot of great value picks. And that's something that, you know, the Chargers have really lacked, you know, in their past. And, you know, I think Tom Telesco has really found great value in free agency as well. And I'm really excited to see what else he is going to do as the Chargers general manager going forward.
One of the things that I saw that stood out to me the most when I was kind of just looking at Tom Telesco's resume at this point and what he's been able to do with the Chargers, the one thing that stuck out to me, which was, I mean, just crazy, is the fact that Tom Telesco's drafted a Pro Bowler in every season that he's had a draft, even the last one because Derwin James made it. Besides that, you have Desmond King in 2017, Joey Bosa in 16, Melvin Gordon in 15, Jason Verrett in 2014, and Keenan Allen in 2013. John, that's ridiculous that he has somehow found a Pro Bowler in every single draft that he's had when there's so many teams out there that don't get a Pro Bowler in two seasons sometimes.
There's even more amazing stuff when you realize that some of those guys aren't just first-round picks, which are usually the Pro Bowlers. Keenan Allen is not a first rounder, and yet he's become our lead receiver. He was considered the steal of the draft. And who found him? Tom Telesco. This guy knows how to find value in every little thing he can. He'll find some undrafted free agent that'll somehow become this almighty player, kind of like Adrian Phillips. And you're just going to sit there and go, where did this guy come from? How did we find him? And we have more guys on this team that could be undrafted or round seven or round six picks, just not the round five ones. Those are the only ones. But you can have any of those type of guys, and they somehow have value on this team because Telesco found them. But my thing with Telesco is this guy knows how to work the money. He knows how to find a way to make these deals work for the player and for the team so you're not suffering with cap space, which is something A.J. Smith was horrible with. That we would have contracts like Robert Meacham, Jared Gaither, and all these guys all bunched into one, and you'd be paying like $30 to $40 million in dead cap every year to nobodies that you gave a bunch of money to just to play 1 or 2 years and then be injured or leave.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's one thing with this offseason that we have to remember is Tom Telesco didn't have a lot to work with this offseason. I mean, you're talking about a little over $20 million in cap space, which in NFL terms is not very much, especially when you have guys like Adrian Phillips and Denzel Perryman and guys like that that you need to bring back. And I won't even say Brandon Mebane because we all know how we feel about that. The one thing I would fault him with so far is, hey, Travis Benjamin's still on the roster. So that's another thing. But he has seemed to grow a little bit because he did cut Jahlil Adai, which I was not sure he was going to do. But some of the other guys that we can kind of reminisce on times it didn't go right were, you know, DJ Fluker, Manti Te'o, Jeremiah Itauchu, Chris Watt, Craig Mager, Max Turk, Josh Perry. All those guys were drafted by Tom Telesco, so it's not all pretty. And I would say that one of his major weak points as a GM has been drafting offensive linemen. I mean, the book is still out on Forrest Lamp, but I know between Fluker and Watt and Turk and Kessenberry, who still we don't know yet, but none of those guys has panned out. Even Dan Feeney is questionable. He was very bad last year. I guess you could still hold out hope, but that one doesn't look great. And then the other thing would be early on in free agency, he was not great. I mean, you have the contracts that you gave out to Donald Butler and Corey Legit with those big extensions. Signed Derek Cox, like you mentioned, David. Signed Joe Barksdale and Orlando Franklin in the same offseason. And then also had kind of bust signings with Stevie Johnson, Travis Benjamin, and, of course, my personal favorite, Griff Whalen, one of the best Chargers of all time. Oh, wait, no, he wasn't. But he did sign some good guys. I mean, he did bring in Danny Woodhead, Patrick Robinson, Casey Hayward, who was a steal, Matt Slauson, and Russell Okung, whose deal looks better and better every year. And another thing he's able to do, David, is bring back big-time players who are hitting free agency, something that previous regimes weren't able to do with re-signing guys like Melvin Ingram, Keenan Allen, and Phillip Rivers. All of that's important when you're a GM and you're able to bring those kind of guys back.
Yeah, no, I mean, he said his philosophy is that he wants to build through the draft and re-sign his talent. And that's something that he's shown that he is going to do. And, like you mentioned, we didn't think that he was going to have the ability to evaluate when he made mistakes, like giving Jahlil Adai another contract, and, you know, was able to, you know, make the right decision and get rid of him. That shows growth. I've always, you know, had a very revered nickname for Tom Telesco as the coupon god, because he just really knows how to find value, and he doesn't leave any stone unturned. So, you know, that's the type of GM that you want to have on your side. He's young, and like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing all the great moves that has up his sleeve here in the future.
Yeah, and let's not pretend that the Chargers have always been a very desirable destination for free agents. He's kind of had to either overpay for someone to bring them in or find somebody that was extremely undervalued by other teams and give them, you know, a couple years, 1 year in some cases, and just find great value. And that's, I think, like you said, where his value is so important to the Chargers, because he's able to not sacrifice future cap space in most situations to give guys giant deals like he did when he first started with, you know, that giant Orlando Franklin deal and deals like that, where you just know they're not going to work out right away, but you're giving them that much money to kind of persuade them to come to the Chargers, because there weren't a hot landing spot for a lot of free agent players. But John, Tom Telesco is obviously one of the better GMs in the league with the amount of talent that he's been able to put around Phillip Rivers these last couple seasons. What do you want to see him do better at going forward as far as either offensive line or kind of cutting emotional ties to other players?
Well, get better at the fifth round pick. I mentioned that earlier.
100%.
He needs to get better at. But
most recently, the third round pick.
Yes. I want to see him get better at signing offensive linemen and drafting offensive linemen. As you mentioned before, he hasn't really been good at that. And it's showing really badly on the field how we can't consistently run the ball and control the field whenever we want to. We have to use other plays to set up a decent running play. And Phillip Rivers is always throwing with pressure in his face, which is why he has to lead the league in stats that involve under pressure, which is not something you want. You want to be able to lead the league in seconds per pocket or something like that, whatever they want to call that stat, or how long the quarterback can sit in the pocket. But he hasn't been able to do that. Every guy we draft is not really panning out. We want to see Forrest Lamp do good, but he got injured. That, to me, that goes on the list of guys that he drafted that could have been bad just because he drafted someone that got injured. That's something he's done a lot of. He's drafted DJ Fluker, for example, who got hurt. A lot of these guys get hurt. Da'Tavius Brown, Jason Verrett, Azir White. These guys are all getting hurt that Telesco drafts. So I also want to see him improve on looking for more guys that can stay on the field longer.
Yeah, I mean, Melvin Gordon, Denzel Perryman as well, as far as Joey Bosa. I mean, Hunter Henry is more of a freak thing, but these guys are getting injured. And really, John, no offensive lineman that Tom Telesco has drafted has worked out. I mean, at the end of the day, Sam Tevy, you got him for a sixth-round pick, but he is not the answer or the future at right tackle. I think we all agree, and we know how.
Probably agree. Sam Tevy's probably the best offensive lineman he's drafted.
I mean, they've gotten the most production out of him, hands down. Most of these guys, Chris Watt, Max Turk, Kessenberry, even they don't even see the field. I mean, at least you're getting, you know, a starter, even if he's a bad starter. I mean, Dan Feeney, I guess you could say, has played 2 years at left guard, but he has not been good. I mean, him and Sam Tevy are both pretty bad. But yes, you'd like to see him have more success as far as protecting Phillip Rivers, because everyone knows how important that is to keep Phillip Rivers upright and how good he is when he has a good pocket that he can step up into. And that hasn't been addressed. And the other thing for me is you have to put more value in positions that you haven't put value in. Yeah, they took Derwin James last year, and you saw them, you know, put some value in the safety position. But that was a no-brainer. I mean, everyone knew that they should take Derwin James there. It wasn't as if he specifically just targeted, hey, we're taking a safety this high. They got lucky, and he fell to them. Because historically, they've showed very low value and put a low importance on safety and defensive tackle. You know, they bring in all these linebackers and draft linebackers high in the second round a lot of times that we've seen in his past drafts. Yet defensive tackle and safety have been neglected. And now you have one really good safety but didn't bring a free safety in to pair with him in free agency. And you still have a bunch of question marks at the defensive tackle position. So those are two areas I would like to see Tom Telesco put more value in and not think that he can kind of just put anyone in those positions and it'll work out. And I think besides that, though, we are all in agreement that it was huge for the Chargers to re-sign Tom Telesco. And if he keeps up with this trajectory, he is going to be the guy you want in charge to put this team back together once Phillip Rivers leaves. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We want to talk about some Chargers that were taken away from us. Jason Verrett, Tyrell Williams, coming up later on in the week, and talking about who is still left on the market and some of the crazy contracts that we've seen given out so far. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, and make sure you call the Locked On Chargers voicemail if you want your name and your voice on the show. You can reach that by calling 323-524-7924. We play every voicemail on the show. We haven't got one in a while, guys, so step your game up so you can get on the Locked On Chargers podcast. Also, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast from so you can keep up with all of the latest episodes. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.